Father God, that is our prayer for today. And that's going to be our prayer for tomorrow. That each and every single time we wake up, that we realize that you are alive in each one of our hearts, that you are the great I am, that you are our Elohim. And we thank you so much that, Father, that we can be here this Sunday to come and to worship you, the God of our life, the one that is truly alive, that never stayed dead. And we thank you for that. I also want to thank you for these words that you gave Sal as he wrote these words and he penned them. I pray that each one of us would also pen these words in our hearts each and every single day. That the music that the praise band put together to make this song happen, I pray that it'll be music to our ears as we share and proclaim your word to all the people that may not know you. And we give you this service today in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I do want to say thank you for our praise team. They always do an incredible job for our church. Man, it is unbelievable. Well, welcome. I was not here. I wasn't here last week. Thank you, Nathan, for filling in for me. I was with my family visiting my wife's family in Wichita, Kansas. And I began my New Year's resolution. I have already lost 5 pounds. I know many of you are like, I can't see it. But I did. I was. It's not really the way you really want to go about it, but I was sick and I was throwing my guts up. So I thought I would help you out by sharing that story because that would help you maybe not want to eat later on as well and cut back on your calories and stuff. So no, we had a great time until right about 8 o'clock at New Year's Eve when you're supposed to be getting ready to really celebrate the new year coming in. I was laying in bed and looking for Jesus at that time. And so, but you know, it's funny, all these years, I know a lot of times in sermons and when people go to church, you know, they always talk about these New Year's resolutions and promises that you're going to want to make to yourself and to the whole world. And maybe people are posting them and saying, you know, this is the new me, the new way and stuff. And, you know, it's great. It's great to have these New Year's resolutions or promises. But the problem is that it's getting less and less every single year. Really, actually, only 40% of the population really actually makes New Year's resolutions and really desire to really try to change and hold on to that. And a lot of times, the number one, of course, is what? Losing weight. So you probably have heard that, huh? And so, but the sad part about that is that it only goes till March, and 92% of those 40% that actually want to make an attempt to hold on to that tradition and that New Year's resolution and really try and grind and lose weight or do whatever it is that you're committing to, 92% are going to not follow through by the time it hits March. But here's what I hope reverses. I hope, and my prayer is, in 2018, my prayer is that 100% would make maybe a renew. Maybe it's kind of like your phone or your computer. It's a reset. It's a reboot in your own heart to say, you know what I want to do? I want to be able to make a new commitment that goes along spiritually for yourself. There's no doubt about it. I would love to get physically fit and do the things I need to do. But what I know I need to do is spiritually stay fit. I need to be able, and here's a great churchy word. Here's a great churchy expression that many, many pastors are going to share, and you're gonna hear this. But I'm going to tell you, if you do this, it will truly change your whole entire life. You have to be in God's Word. You truly have got to every day being God's Word. And this is why we're kicking off just this whole idea from children to the youth to adults to be able to try to hold on to at least one verse, memorize one verse every single week. For there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, if I can remember that, and I share half a brain with my twin brother, okay, as a twin, we have a great opportunity for all of us to memorize and meditate and to practice and to live by those words that truly, actually, can change our life. If we truly want to grow, if we truly want to actually get to know our Savior, we have to be in God's Word. So speaking of God's Word, let's turn to Acts chapter 11 as we continue our series in what I think is one of the most amazing books in the whole entire Bible. From the beginning of Acts, this author, he's writing the second part. The second part, Luke, the Apostle Luke, the Dr. Luke, is writing the second part of one of the most inspiring books and some of the most inspiring stories and some of the most supernatural, unbelievable things that have ever has taken place. And what's cool about it is that when we look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when we look at the Gospels, we in a way are kind of like sitting in as the audience. Kind of like right now, you guys are sitting as the audience, you're listening, but when you read the Gospels and you open it up and you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and you listen to the stories about the stories of Christ and the disciples and the people that he ended up working with and helping and guiding and sharing, this book is a little bit different. Because in the books of Acts, we're the ones that are actually on stage. Each and every one of us are on stage getting the opportunity every day to live out the continuation of books of the book of Acts where it left off. Now, we may not think about that because we may just be coming in here, sitting down, and we want to hear a message, and then we go home and we begin to live life. And we go to work and we take care of families and different things come up. And sometimes we lose sight of all the things that we are supposed to be doing. But the fact of the matter is that we're supposed to be continuing to live in out the rest of this story. We are the story. We are the story in this book. And I don't want you to lose sight of that. Most theologians and people will call this the Acts of the Apostles. And yes, the apostles like Peter and Paul and different being John will actually be ministered to by the Holy Spirit. But I want you to understand this is not just about the Acts of the Apostles. This is actually the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The true essence of this book is all about Jesus Christ. It's all about the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to be able to touch on every single one of every action. And you know what? And even in John, it tells us that everything, it couldn't even be recorded. I mean, it would be unbelievable the amount of things that actually Jesus Christ did. We wouldn't have enough room in all the libraries to fill up. That's how much Christ did in the lives of people. And that's how much he's still doing in our lives today. If you were to share your story with me of every conversation that you've ever had with family or friends or things you've done about Christ or had a conversation, you would fill up many, many books. I truly believe that, especially knowing some of y'all's stories. So this book is all about the Holy Spirit working. And for us to truly be the church, it's imperative that we know Jesus Christ in our life. Notice what I did not say. For you to be the church, you must go to church. Do I want you here at church? Absolutely. But for you to be the church, it's imperative that you know Christ. It's not about works. Christ says that our works are like filthy rags. It's not about our works. It's about our relationship with Him. And how we have that relationship with Christ is by being in His Word every single day and growing and praying and sharing with other people in the way that God has gifted you. Not being anybody else, except for the way that he designed you perfectly. You don't ever have to worry about being someone else, being something that you're not. God has designed you perfectly. He's molding you and making you exactly the way he wants you to be. And man, what an awesome thing that is. You know, it's very difficult to know someone until you talk to them. Have you ever found that to be true in your own life? You know how many relationships I've missed out because I don't spend the time to actually talk to somebody? You cannot get to know someone unless you walk with them and you talk with them. And you cannot do that with Christ. For you to know Christ, you truly have to talk to him and you truly have to walk with him. It's the only way. He made it that way. And he's the only one, the only God that says, I want it that way. I want it that way. I made you that way. From the very, very beginning. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's as simple as just simple faith as asking Christ into your life. Not just believing, not just saying it with your words, but actually believing it with all of your heart, with all your strength, with all your might, with everything that you have and say, I don't want to live this life without you, Lord. And believe. And to understand that you want him to come into your life, to actually to build residence into your life. Now, many of you guys that are already Christian, you're saying, we already know that. Get to the point. Get to your acts. Let's start talking about it. Well, let me tell you something. There are people that are filling up the pews every single Sunday throughout this world that you hear it over and over and over, but we still oftentimes we walk out or we forget and say, I need to make sure that I've actually invited him, that he actually has residence into my life. We can play church all the time, but until we actually have him and become the church and have him come into our life and build residence into our life, it doesn't happen. It's not gonna happen. Your life will not change. It will not be manifested. It will not be transformed. There are people all the time saying, why is my life not like yours or this way or how this person and whatever? I said, well, it's not because of me. It's because that maybe the fact is that you've never asked Christ in your life. He's never transformed your life. He's never taken residence in your life. For I have been crucified with Christ, and it's I who no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Have you been crucified with Christ? Have you invited him into your life like these people that we have been talking about in this series of the last 10 chapters to be able to go and spread God's word from your Judea to your Samaria, from your Joppa to your Caesarea, to your Garland, to your Rockwall, to your Mesquite, to your Dallas, to the ends of the earth. The book of Acts is all about an active participant. You have to be active. This book is prescriptive, but it's also descriptive, meaning it's a historical book. Yes, 2,000 year old. The New Testament, 2000, first century AD. But it's also ongoing today. Acts 1:8, the central theme of the whole verse of this book is Acts 1:8. It says, but you will receive the power. That is what I want you to hone into, is this power. When the Holy Spirit comes onto you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. This is where it all started. And in Judea and in Samaria. And this is what we discussed over the past 10 chapters. And to the ends of the earth. If you're reading the Word of God right now, if you're sitting here, guess what? It is reaching the ends of the earth right now. Think about how far this place has gone in the spread and the millions of people that have come to know Jesus Christ. There's an estimated 1 billion Christians in the world. 1 billion. Thousands are dying every day and thousands are being born every day. And we have an ongoing job and responsibility to hit as many people and touch people as we can. And I'll get to that in a second. But there's a lot of work to do. Matthew 24:14 says, And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Hold on to that. And then the end will come. Church, we must get ready, because I promise you, it's getting closer. It's kind of like, how many of you guys have ever been in a car and you're driving and maybe you've only gone for like 30 minutes and your kids are already asking you, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And I always say, yes, we're getting closer. We're getting closer. It's a great answer, because we really are. We're getting closer, unless you decide to go backwards or you're just sitting there. But guys, our world is not stopping. Our world is not stopping. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. It's going to go on without us. It don't stop for me. It never has, and it never will. It's going to keep going on. And there will be a time when Jesus will return. Amen. But there's work left to be able to do. Can I just tell you something? I mean, if you think about it, we are truly, actually, one little baby tantrum away from a nuclear war. We're a baby tantrum away from a nuclear war. If that doesn't get our attention just a little bit. And it could be on either side, by the way. Not just with Rocket Man, okay? We're a baby tantrum away. When the Great Commission in Matthew was given to Jesus, and here in Luke in Acts 1:8, he said to go and make disciples of all nations. Guys, that has been nothing but a supernatural work. This is unbelievable. This is the greatest advertising. You know, word of mouth, they say, is the best advertising in the world. Why? It's cheap. It's free. I mean, it's personable. It's life-changing. Why? Because people are saying, well, how does it work for you? How does it work for you? Why would someone want to become Christian, little Christ? Why would someone want what you got if maybe the way that we're living our life is somewhat contrary to the way that maybe Christ is living? Or maybe you're living the way that Christ would want you to live, and they say, why is it that you live this way? Why? I want what you got so bad. What is it that I am missing? It's just Christ has changed my life, is what you may say. I can't explain it. I can't put my words around it. I just know I'm different. I can feel His presence. For the first time, I can see Him. I can feel Him. I know that He's talking to me. He's interacting with me. I can feel the relationship. I know that before, I didn't care about this kind of stuff, and now I do. How did that happen? It wasn't in my own ways. It's now because something has happened to my heart that God has wanted, given me basically the desires of my heart. It's given me something that I never thought I could ever have. It's completed me. In Acts 1:8, it says to go and make disciples of all nation. This word nation, by the way, in the Greek, does not necessarily mean, it's not referring to necessarily to like Russia and China and Kenya and United States. That's not what it's actually saying. A lot of times we think, even though we may be touching those areas, but in the Greek it's not actually saying in the nations, hitting all these political countries. What the actual Greek word that is actually for nation is, ethne. It means ethnic. It means ethnic groups. I want you to listen to this. When I just shared that scripture about Matthew in terms of when the possible times when Jesus may end up returning, hold on to these data. Watch this. There's 16,600 ethnic groups worldwide. 6,700 groups have not been reached yet. 6,700 groups out of 16,600. 40% of the world's known population. One-fifth of the earth live in this unreached world. Every group that I just mentioned has over 10 million people in those groups that's not being reached. Is there work to be done? Yeah. In 47 of these countries, many of these countries, we're not even allowed to even go in. They're very, very sensitive. People will be martyred and killed. You try going into North Korea right now and you want to share the gospel, ain't going to happen. Matter of fact, there are so many missionaries right now that are actually sitting on death row or have already been tortured. It's already happening. There's been more people that have been martyred. We already heard that more people that have been martyred just in the 21st century than all the centuries combined. That's how many people have been killed for the faith of Christ. That's a fact. So we need to be praying for our missionaries. We need to be praying for our political leaders. We need to be praying that the Holy Spirit will do His supernatural work. The book of Acts started with 120 people. It moved up to 3,000. It moved up to 8,000. And then it begins to start spreading and spreading. In Acts chapter 11, 19 through 24, I want to open up God's word, and we're going to get through this really quick. In Acts chapter 11, 19 through 24, if you would make sure that you're opened up to God's word there. We're about to talk about this place called Antioch. How many of you guys have actually heard of the word Antioch before? Is that this word Antioch in the book of Acts, and it dates back in this first century? Well, just so if, for those that have heard it or for those that have not heard it, let me just give out a reminder for you. First of all, Antioch is the first century place. It's this thriving commercial real estate area, this city, this trade route. This is where the actual Silk Road actually travels through this particular area. So this is a bustling city, a commercial, a high-paying area, lots of selling going on, commercial, just business is all taking place here. It's the third largest city in the world during this time of 500,000 people. This is going to be the first place, the first real melting pot in the world. It's the first place. Antioch is the first blended ethnicity type of group where there's going to be over 18 different types of ethnic groups that's going to be sitting here during this trade route. It'd be like modern day Singapore right now. How many of you guys have ever studied about Singapore? As a history teacher, I teach about Singapore. Did you know in Singapore, in Asia, every 2 to 3 minutes, there's a ship coming in and going out. Every 2 to 3 minutes, there's 1,000 ships sitting in dock right now and then about to go out and about to come in. Every 2 to 3 minutes. And this is what Antioch was like, the trading route, the main place going in and out where there's more countries and more people dealing with each other than any other place. In Singapore, there's 120 countries represented right now today going through Singapore. This is today's Antioch. This is what I wanted to kind of get your mind around. It's the first largest ethnic church in the first century. This is where it all starts. The first largest ethnic blended group. We got a little bit of blended group here. Not much, but we have a little bit. And my prayer in 2018 is that this church would be filled with a lot more blended groups here so that way we can reach more different types of people in different neighborhoods and different cultures all throughout the Dallas-Fort Worth area. That is my prayer. I don't want to look at a lot of people that just look like me. I want this place to be blended so we can reach all types of people. And Antioch and the apostles Paul and Peter and Jesus Christ himself said this is the type of church we're supposed to be. Amen. That is my prayer. This is the place. This is the first international church in the history of the world is Antioch. This is where all the missionaries traveled all over the world and came out of this place. Man, this was a kicking church. This was an amazing church. This place, though, was filled with every type of immorality you could think of. Gods and goddesses like Daphne, There's a picture of Daphne here where the cities in the gardens where all this immorality would be taking place. And she was worshipped also with the god of Apollo, was also worshipped here. Guys, you have to understand, when the Greeks and the Jews are mixing and blending together, their views and the gods of who they worshipped and the Jehovah God that they believed in with the Jews were blending together. But God says, I can work all this stuff out. Just give me a chance. What you got to first do is that you got to get straight. Don't worry about all the other stuff around you. What is it with you personally? See, a lot of times that's what we do. We get in a deal where we're like always comparing ourselves and, well, what is other people doing? Or what are these people? You know what Jesus is asking? What do you want to do? What is it with you? Because I always get people, sometimes you get these atheists and deists and agnostics and every other ick-ism and asm out there, and they're always trying to do all the psychology with you. Well, what about the people in Africa? What about them? What about those people over there? What about these people? I'm going to ask you one question, sweetheart. I'm going to ask you one question, sir. What about you? Why are you worried about everything else? Let God be God and let Him work on you right now. What is it that you want to do? And that's what was going place right now here in Antioch. And these people needed to deal with them personally. Over 18 different ethnic groups were trying to be blended in here. And God had to do some massive amount of work. What's impossible with man, though, is possible with God. There's nothing impossible for God to do His work. As a matter of fact, He shows it. Here we go, Acts 11:19. It says, now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen that traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. They just knew the Jews. They looked like the Jews. They acted like the Jews. They worshipped as the Jews. They followed the rituals of the Jews, so they stuck with the Jews. It was something that we do. It's kind of like who we hang out with a lot of times right now, right? Don't we kind of just say, they're kind of like my personality. They fit in with me. They do this. It's just my family. I'll just stick with my family. I'll just do this. I'll just hang out with these two people. They look different. They speak different. They act different. I'm not going to end up. God's saying, you know what? There's more to that. I need you to go outside your comfort zone, to go outside your box and blend yourself. Blend yourself with some other people. So the Jews were just taking care of the Jews. It was great to see that they were still reaching the gospel and reaching people. And you know what's cool about this? We're not talking about the apostles who were doing this. We're talking about the church. The church was going out sharing the gospel. Not the chosen 12. The church, the born-again believers. You remember the 3,000 and the 8,000 and all those thousands that were coming to know the Lord? They were getting off the pews. They were getting out of their seats. They were going to their homes. They were selling their stuff. They were making that part of their business. And they were saying, hey, do you know Christ? As they're making the purple dye and setting up the tents and feeding the camels and doing all the things. They were making that a part of their everyday job, but they were sharing Christ with each other. That's what we're supposed to be doing. 20 and 21. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had become to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists. These were just basically Jews that actually spoke Greek. Okay, the Hellenists were just, that's what they were. They were Jews that spoke to Greek. They believed in the Greek culture during that time. And preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. Watch how the Holy Spirit's still with them. And a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Guys, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people are coming to know the Lord right now. They crossed over political, religious, ethnic barriers. They said, you know what? I'm going to do what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. I'm not going to just stay within my own group. In Acts 20:21, later on, it's going to say, it's not going to be up here, but watch this. He says, I have declared both to the Jews and to the Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. Isn't that cool? God's not saying, you know what, just you Greeks, hey, just you Jews. No, both of you. both of you. I'm talking to both groups here. I'm talking about you individually. I don't care who you are and what you're saying. I'm telling both of you right now, I have declared to both of you, Jews and Greeks, that you must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ if you want to make this thing work. Acts 22, 24. And here we go. We'll go to 22 here. And then the news of things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And I think about our church here. I think about what your specific purpose is. I think about why God brought you here to this church. Is there a reason why God brought you here? Do you ever like look at yourself and say, how in the world did I get here? There's a purpose for it. I believe that each one of you here are for a divine purpose. Every single one of you. I don't ever want you to forget that. You have a specific gift or gifts. You have a specific purpose. You have an experience in life that people need to hear. And people need to see. Don't ever forget that. You're not insignificant. You're truly designed and significant to change the world. So when you look in the mirror every morning, what do you see? When you look in the mirror, what do you think God sees? What does God see? This crazy place in Antioch was as sinful as they came. This was a young church in Antioch. These were babies. These were baby little believers in Christ. What is it that you need? Some of you haven't been a Christian very long. Some of you have been a Christian longer than I've been alive. Some people could be wearing spiritual diapers right now. And you're just baby in Christ. And that's okay. Because you got to start somewhere. You got to crave that pure milk. You got to be able to be able to take in what you can take. You would never give a baby steak. They need that soft food. They need that soft holding and encouragement and soft food. They need that milk and to be able, but you know what a baby always does? It always hungers and thirsts. It always craves, doesn't it? Or it's going to whine. It's going to cry. It's going to tell you what it needs. And you know what? I'm the same way. When I'm hungry and I'm thirsty, I'm going to whine and cry about it. And when I'm sick, I'm going to whine and cry about it. And I'm not going to want any food or anything. Isn't it funny how we're sick, how we whine and cry, and we want something to help us get well? And isn't it funny that when we're doing great, we want that. We still crave that food. Guys, spiritually, do we crave it? Do we want that in our life? It wasn't easy for these people. You try living in a bustling city that's going back and forth worshiping all these gods. You try to make it. You're a brand new Christian, and that person that you've been working with every single day that's stealing or taking a part of the peace or doing this or living this life or saying, hey, let's go to the gardens and let's go get in this involved in this immorality and do this and do that. And you're like, yeah, I was meaning to talk to you about that. See, what happened is that this dude showed up at my house, and I ended up learning about who this guy named Jesus was. And Jesus was, you know, it's like changing my life, and I'm supposed to have this brand new start, and I'm learning that that's kind of, you're not really supposed to do that. And so I got like all these, yeah, I'm not going to go with you tonight. What do you mean you're not going to go with me? Well, I can't, because I really want to follow what Christ is saying. Well, dude, I'm not going to you to sell things anymore. You mean we can't still sell to each other? We can't still work together? We can't still be friends? We can't? Nah, man. I'm all in that Daphne girl. What is your story, man? It's not going to be easy. You trust Christ and you're going to have face persecution. And these people in here, they were facing persecution. They were babes in Christ. And guess what? Some of them said, yeah, it's not worth it. That's another 50 years from now, I'll get right with God. But right now, I got to take care of business. I got to make sure I can still support my family. There's no way I'm going to follow Christ and give up all this cool stuff that I'm doing right now, because that makes me happy. And I really want to do this. And I don't know if I'm going to be really, truly happy following Christ, because I just don't even understand Him yet. So there's a lack of commitment. We've got to have this prayer that David had in Psalms 51:10. Create in me a pure heart, a new heart, O God, and renew a loyal spirit within me. It's a song I memorized, a little part of it. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now my daughter's laughing at me right now. She's like, I can't believe you just sang. I saw her eyes. She's like, that's okay. I'll look stupid in front of God all the time. It's okay. But you guess what? It's my song every day. I want to have a renewed spirit every day. What did they need? They needed strength and encouragement. What did they need? They needed solid teaching and accountability. What did they need? They needed the Holy Spirit to guide and protect them. What did they need? They needed a new song in their heart. I want to end with this. There's three things that changed Antioch. It came from three spiritual gifts. I'm only going to hit one of them, okay? I won't go into all three of them. I'm just going to end with this last one. Three amazing spiritual gifts were used during the beginning of this time. In verse 22, 23, the first gift was this, and it may be the most underrated gift of all. We see the spiritual gift of encouragement displayed. The spiritual gift of exhortation, of encouragement. Verse 22, verse 23, and then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. The most underrated spiritual gift of all is just to be able to encourage people. Barnabas came because God had picked Barnabas. You are all of Barnabas. You all have the ability and the gifts to be able to really, truly encourage people. It may not be this spiritual gift that's just flowing out of you like milk and honey, but everybody has the ability to encourage other people to keep pressing forward, to keep going and going and striving each and every day. I'll never forget 3 years ago when my father, he came into the church and he said, some of the nicest people I've ever met is in your church. Right? He said that. That's encouraging. That means people are doing their jobs here. They're encouraging. They're saying good things. They're welcoming people. They're loving on people. And our church desperately needs to always have Barnabases in our churches to help it grow. Never to be legalistic. Never to be offensive. Never to be judgmental. But we experience the freedom each and every single day. What I love about Barnabas was this, is his real name was Joseph. But they nicknamed him. You want to know who nicknamed him? The chosen apostles nicknamed this man, this good man named Barnabas, and they called him the son of encouragement. They've never seen anything like this. This guy was winning people to the Lord because of his encouragement. This guy was helping the church grow, and missionaries were going all over international, all over around the world. Did you know that we are hearing the gospel because of people like Barnabas that encouraged one soul to be able to go and share the gospel, and that person shared the gospel, and that person shared the gospel because he wasn't lazy with his words and with his heart? Are you a Barnabas here at Living Hope? We got to cut out any gossips, no bad blood, no backstabbing, no hidden agendas, no complaining, no comparing gifts. And what I loved about Barnabas is that we're still talking about Saul. Saul hasn't become Paul yet. Saul is still living several years, 3 years, and he had his conversion, and he's still sitting there for 3 years learning how to be a soldier for God. And guess what Barnabas did? He goes back to all the apostles, and he tells the apostles, guess what? He truly was converted. The mafia in real life, they call him, he's a made man. I'll give you another word. Barnabas vouched for him. He vouched for him. He said, no, I'm telling you, he truly had a conversion experience. And watch, Saul is going to turn to Paul, and Paul is going to radically end up writing most of the New Testament. We must keep our eyes open to help others. Is your eyes open to help others? I've never met one soul who didn't need some kind of encouragement, except for a dead soul. You got to be dead if you don't want encouragement. You got to have a dead soul if you don't need encouragement. We must keep our ears open to help others. A helping word to one in trouble is often like a switch on a railroad track. It can truly shift from certain destruction or bring about a new path in life. How many times have someone come to you and then all of a sudden, man, you were there, you stopped long enough, you turned on the switch for them and they went a different path. You know what it was? It wasn't you. It was God using you. I wish we were that cool. But God says, you know what? I made you, and I made you for a purpose. And I'm going to allow this train wreck coming in into your life. Would you show him kindness? Will you show him Jesus? Because this could be the matter of life and death. I know there are people in this church right now that have helped so many people, and literally lives are being changed and transformed. And we must keep our hearts open to help others. I told you I was closing, right? My wife shared a Facebook picture with me. It was interesting. There's a picture of a car. It's an old car. Maybe. You won't be able to see the sign, but on the back of it says, Learning Stick. Sorry for the delay. Learning Stick. Sorry for the delay. The person driving this vehicle had the courage to put a sign on the back to let everyone know that they're a new driver. Or maybe they're an old driver, but they're a new driver driving a stick. And I want you to think about you spiritually. You may be an old driver, but spiritually, you may be brand new. And you may be a new driver, and spiritually, you may be driving a new stick, spiritually. I don't think anyone here today has a sign on them explaining your story. So until you put a sign on your back or on your front, people don't know your story. They don't know whether they should slow down or get the heck away. They don't know whether they should follow too closely to be patient with whatever you're going through as you begin to grind the gears and as you begin to go and learn how to drive this car, this life spiritually. But the person asked himself this question: would I have been this patient with this person if the sign had not been there? for her? She said, no. And when we think about people carrying signs, do we know what people are struggling with? Depression, sickness, financial restraints, marriage problems, handling kids, being a brand new mom or a brand new dad, maybe dealing with disrespectful teenagers. Do we know that people have loved ones that are overseas fighting a war? Do we know that there may be kids, like in my class, fifth period, where a boy came to me and he was acting out, and then after everybody left, he walked over to me. And Nicholas said to me, Mr. DeFeo, and I said, yeah. He said, my mom and my dad are divorcing. And he turned around and he couldn't look at me anymore. And he's sitting there and he's crying in my arms, can't even make it to sixth period class. And I'm wondering, why won't you get your notes out and start working? He didn't care about notes. He wants his mom and dad back together. And when his mom tells him, you're never going to see your dad again, he's not going to walk to sixth period wearing a sign saying, hey, forgive me, I may be a jerk today. It's because my parents aren't going to be together anymore, and I don't know how to deal with that. And as Christians, we are facing those kind of dilemmas every single day. We don't know your story until you open up your story, and none of us are wearing signs, and we take the time to share our stories with each other and say, would you be with me? Would you pray with me? I need a Barnabas in my life right now to help me go, because right now, I'm ready to detour. I can't make it. The Church of Antioch is living hope. The Church of Antioch is every single church around this world trying to live like Jesus Christ would want us to live. How does the church grow? How did the Church of Antioch grow? One of it was through encouragement, through each other, and that through that leadership of each of us. Of each of us. The Apostle Paul will say later on, and I am closing, 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 22 through 23 said this, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. And to the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means, I might save one person. I will just want to save one person. If God, if you have me in this world, and if it's just for one person, so be it. Give me that one person. I do all of this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. There's going to be a day when the Lord will look at you and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share my master's happiness. Be a man and a woman full of grace. Be a man and a woman of great encouragement. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for all of us to be active participants in your book of Acts. And may the Holy Spirit in each one of us be alive and working. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.